Well, today we have a part two of Philippians 4 through 7. Can I get someone to read 4 through 7 from their Bibles? I don't have it on the overhead. I just have the last two. I just have the last two verses. So, if someone would volunteer to read that, that'd be great.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful and anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So today we're going to look at the last two verses. Last week Bob covered the first two verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. So these two verses, I would dare say that these two verses, every believer that spent any time in Scripture probably knows these verses. The challenge is, the challenge here is, do we really trust the Lord for what He's asking us to do? He's asking us to do a very simple thing here. You know, and people have phrased it different ways. You know, replace worry with prayer. I mean, that's one summary. Macaulay says, worry is self-centered, prayer is God-centered. And that's exactly what we're going to see. He doesn't really want us to go there and worry. But that is, you know, I would say that's the most challenging thing, one of the most in the Christian life, because there are so many things that we deeply care about. And we think somehow that we're going to improve them by worrying. And in preparing this message, I've been working on this for about the last 3 weeks. In the midst of these 3 weeks, I had a kind of a thing that happened with our neighbors, and I hate those kind of things. And it's just, but you know, and here I am worrying right away. I say, what am I doing, Roger? I'm preparing this lesson on worry. I'm doing exactly what I'm going to tell you not to do. So don't think arrive. And I think the Lord wants us to see, hopefully we'll take some things away here maybe you haven't thought of before, and maybe not. You know, you guys are pretty good. Any other thoughts here before we start? Okay, so we're just going to kind of jump into the first verse. Okay, so the first part of the first verse, in my translation, is be anxious for nothing. And who has the King James? Could they read there? I think Doris and...
It says be careful for nothing.
Okay, well, we're going to find that this word... be anxious or be careful. Actually, it's mera amanano. It's actually, it can be used in a good sense or in a bad sense. And actually, Paul's used it. I'll just go. He's used it in the good sense. Back in Philippians 2:20, he said, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare." So this word in the Greek can be translated in a positive sense. So Paul was commending him, you know, for being concerned for the welfare of believers. And I think it was in Philippi. But in this case, it's used, I don't want you to be merimanano. I don't want you to be anxious, troubled, worried. And this isn't just a suggestion. You know, this is what's called imperative. It's a command. And I think the Lord comes to us here and He says, and we're going to look at the Lord Jesus' teaching in Matthew. He comes to us and He says, you know, it's only logical for who you are in Christ, what I've done for you, that this should be your mindset. This is how you should think. And I like Vern's logical imperative. This is how you should think. To think otherwise would make no sense. You would be denying who you are. So, as we go through, we're going to look at the same word, Merimanano, and we're going to look at what Christ said about it. But that's and there's a verse here I wanted to look at in 1 Peter. Could someone? It's sort of like a parallel verse, 1 Peter 5:7. Could someone read that for me? And it's a very similar kind of idea. Actually, you could read 6 and 7 if you want. 1 Peter 5:6-7.
Humble yourself, therefore, under the God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you.
Okay. So in verse 7 there, it says casting all your anxiety, and that's our word. There's actually a, this is a noun form. No, I'm sorry. This is a verb form, Roger. that's a verb form. The other one here, I believe, is a noun form, anxiety. So it's the same word. So the idea is that you're transferring your worry or anxiety. You're transferring it from you to God. He doesn't want you to carry that. You know, the picture in Scripture always is that He wants to carry the load. He doesn't want you carrying the load. So, you know, so that's the, what we're going to see. And He's going to tell us His game plan here, basically. The last half of this verse is God's game plan. This is how I want you to handle worry or anxiety in the Christian life. Okay, so we're going to look at, and it's probably almost too small to read in your handout, I apologize, but you can look up here. We're going to look through what the Lord Jesus had to say in Matthew 6:25-34. And I've underlined the word worried, and it's the same word that's translated be anxious in the Philippians passage, in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. So we're just going to kind of go through this. So he starts off, and actually I would like to have brought in each verse, you know, in PowerPoint you can, my PowerPoint skills fell apart here, it was just too late. You can bring in each verse one at a time so you don't see all the rest of the verses. Anyway, I gave up on that about, you know, 9:30 last night, so I can't do it. It's doable. But anyway, so the first verse, Matthew 6:25, for this reason, and I think he's referring back, if you look in the context of Matthew 6 there, he talks about serving God and serving mammon, is that how you pronounce it, mammon? Money. He basically says, the idea is that you'll serve God. And he says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing? So he's gonna start in here and he's gonna reason with us. He's gonna say, look at my creation. And he says, okay, there's three things in my creation he's gonna talk about. First, he says your life. He's gonna talk about your life, but then he says that's kind of broken down into three parts. Basically what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. So he's gonna discuss that with us. And this is primary to Israel, but I think it speaks to us as well. He's going to discuss with us the logic of that. He says, okay, first example. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And interesting, someone pointed out, is it the bird's heavenly Father? No, it's our heavenly Father. So that, you know, and I actually hadn't caught that, but somebody pointed it out. It's your heavenly Father. He doesn't say that the, you know, I'm not trying to be hard on animals, but, you know, man is created above the animals, and it's our heavenly Father. So I don't know if that's a big
deal. He's their creator.
He's a creator, but he talks, he has a personal relationship with us. Anyway, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? So he's kind of reasoning, he's saying, well, look, the birds of the air, they don't go out, they don't say, okay, let's see, let's go hard, where can I go do this? Now they do, if you observe the birds, they do kind of, they fill up their, you know, they'll bring food to their babies and stuff. If you have a little nest in your yard or something like that, they go out, you know, they're, in fact, actually try to get rid of their nests, and it's a challenge. If they're intent upon building a nest in your gutter, you may be out there every day trying to take the nest down because they work right away at it. But they're not, you know, they're not worried, you know. We don't communicate with the birds, and so they're not worried. And that's according to the Lord. They're not worried about that. And he says, aren't you much more than they? By comparison, I created you in my likeness, and I've given you my spirit, and, you know, just so many things. You're so much more valuable than they. Okay, and then it goes on, 27. And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? So he wants another set of reasoning. Is this worrying? How are you doing with worrying? Is it really helping you out? Is it paying the bills? Is it putting anything in the bank? You know, is it part of your exercise program? I'll go out and worry for half an hour. Go to the gym or I'll worry. You see, what's my choice here? I'll worry. I won't go to the gym. In fact, actually going to the gym sometimes helps you from not worrying, right? That's what I found at least. So, then 28. And why are we worried? Now he talks about clothing. And why are we worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil or spin. So he says, you know, I've created a clothing for this earth. I've created that. And he says, it's more spectacular. In 29, did I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like the ones of these. God's clothing for his creation is magnificent. I mean, it's incredible. So once again, he's reasoning with this. You know, think about my creation, what I've done. In verse 30, but if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow it is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So he continued on his reasoning about what he's done and how much more important you are by comparison with the rest of his creation. And then 31, and this is the same word, Maranatha, that we've been looking at. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So here's a really key point, and we're going to see this. We're going to see it later on, that we come to God in prayer, but he knows what we're going to pray. He already knows our needs to start with. Before we ever say one thing or ask one thing, he already knows them all. But he wants us to pray. And you think, well, and your head kind of goes in, wait a minute, he knows them all. But I was kind of thinking, like with your kids, isn't it wonderful? You know, when they're young especially, you know their needs. They got to get good sleep, they got to eat, get to bed on time, you know, study their homework, or whatever it may, you know their needs. So when they come to you and ask you something, you already, you know, unless it's something off the wall, you pretty well know what they're going to ask about. Can I stay up later? There's something I want to know. No, I don't want to do my homework. I hate homework, you know. So you know their needs. And so I kind of see a parallel there between our Heavenly Father knows our needs. He knows what we're about. So then in 33 he says, but seek first the kingdom, for his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then the last one, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So he goes through with here, you know, reasoning about worry, why we shouldn't be in that mode. So, any other thoughts? I mean, I just kind of whizzed through this pretty quickly. You know, now this verse occurs maybe 30 times in Scripture, and this is the most extensive use of it here in the Gospel of Matthew. So, so what I want to do now is I want to transition and use the last part, but just this is the main word for worry, as we've kind of talked about it. You know, it can be used in a positive sense or a negative sense, and most times in Scripture it's used in a negative sense. Okay. So let's go on. So now, he says, be anxious for nothing. And it's this word, meden, not at all, and no respect. And Wiest has kind of packaged this together. And the idea here of this word is be anxious not at all, or be anxious in no respect. And Wiest has kind of brought across kind of, I think, really quite well. Stop worrying about even one thing. And one of the things I didn't point out, the verb tense, it's a command, but it's in the present tense, which means it's something that's continually going on. So the idea here is here that you're already worrying. God, you know, God, and God's saying, stop worrying about even one thing. And then after this, he's going to kind of give us, then there's going to be a button here. And he's going to tell us, this is what I want you to do. Stop worrying about even one thing, which I think is a great. So if you want to have it in your head, he doesn't worry about one thing. You think, well, that's an impossibility. And, if, you know, realistically speaking, given that we have a fallen nature and we have two natures, We're going to worry. The question is, will we see God's remedy for it and rely upon him and exercise faith in what he's provided for us? That's kind of the... You know, I'm not proposing that after this class you'll never worry again. So, anyway. Okay. So it's, stop worrying about even one thing, but Allah, in strong contrast, so here it comes, we now have in the remainder of verse 6 the remedy for anxiety and worry. So here he's going to start in and he says, here's what I want you to do. And you're going to say, I already know that. I tried it. It doesn't work. We'll see. Hopefully we'll see some new things here. Okay. So here's his, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So if you look at this last part, and it really helped me if I rearranged it. Right now it's not in the subject first, then the verb, and then the modifiers. It's arranged differently. So I attempted to do that. So here it is, kind of rearranged. I underlined the plurals just because I thought it was important that we see that it's just not, you have a single request and that's it. It's request plural. There's going to be many requests. So in subject, verb, modifier, rearranging form, it would read, your requests, plural, let them be made known in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So now I'm going to use that rearranged part of this verse here, verse 6, and we're going to kind of go through each part of this. Okay. So the subject is your request. And literally, it's the things, that which has been asked for, or a thing asked for. And I want to look at those couple of verses, but first I want you to notice that a form of the word for prayer actually occurs four times in this passage. Request, the word request is a word for prayer. Prayer is prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. They're all, this last part of this verse is filled with words that talk about our communication with God. Request, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. All talking about communications with God. So part of the answer to be anxious for nothing is to communicate with God. And if you think about it, that's where you want your focus to not be on yourself. Typically your worry is about yourself or your family, or there's something about you interacting with something and it focused on God. He wants you focused on Him, not upon your circumstances. So let's look at a couple of these verses here. Could someone read Ephesians 3:20? So this is going to talk. We're going to look at the word for your request or ask. Ephesians 3:20.
Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Great, thank you. So basically, it's translated here: ask. So this is asking God. This is communicating with God and making a request or asking Him. And that's the subject. You're asking Him, and then we're going to see what the verb is here in a second. So, and then the other verse there is another one for pray for and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. So let's look at the... So how do we make... This is kind of a... how do we make a request of God? I've already kind of given him the answer. Do we send him an email? We text him? Twitter him? We tweet to him? You know, request is prayer. I just want to kind of keep us on track here. Okay, so the verb here, so the subject is your request, plural, let them be made known to God. And this verb here is the idea that you're making known of something already known. So like I said, just like with our children, you know your children, they come to you and they ask them, and you already know them, you are, and so our Heavenly Father is so much more than that. He knows where we're at. He's not surprised. He doesn't say, uh-oh, you did it again. No, He's not going to be that way. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He knows exactly where you're at, and He cares for you, and He wants you to communicate with Him. And He's going to tell you, it's not just about a few things. Just pick your top 10. I only want to hear the top 10, you guys out there. Only the top 10. The rest of them, let them, you know. And when the 11th one, you know, you get the top one cleared out, then you move the 11th one up. Now I hear that one. He doesn't operate that way, you know. Not at all. Okay. So, your request, plural, let them be made known. So, and that's the idea. And I had some 1 Corinthians 15:1, I'll just read that. It says, Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand. So Paul was, when he was talking to the Corinthians there, he was saying, I'm going to tell you the gospel, but I've already made, you've already received it. You already know about it. I'm going to tell you again. So that's a little bit different context, but the idea is it's something that's already, that the Lord already knows. Let your requests, your request, let them be made known. Okay. Then we're going to find there are four modifiers of the verb. Four things that are to be made known. Let them be made, four aspects of that. The first one is, and this is just what I talked about, in everything. Pos in the Greek, all, nothing excluded. So I was just kind of joshing with you there, not the top ten. He wants them all. You say, well, but I told you these all before, Lord. I told you every single one of these, and I've done it again and again and again. You know, one thing you notice here, he doesn't address answering prayer in this passage. He only addresses, he wants you not to be focused. He doesn't say, here's my plan for answering these. He says, that's talking about other places, but he says, here, I want you to take your focus off yourself and worry and focus on me by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and request. Take your, stop focusing on yourself. Focus on the Lord. So in the First Peter passage here, could someone read that? This is a very, very familiar passage too. Very, very much the same idea. 1 Peter 5:7.
If the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
I may have got through. That's 1 Peter 5:7.
Oh. My bad. I'm
sorry. Okay, good. I'm like, oh.
I think the one you want is casting all your care.
Yes, exactly. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically 1 Peter 5:7 is casting. Okay, let's read. And this is cool. 1 Peter 5:7, the all there is the same word, pos, casting some of your prayers, casting some of your anxieties, a few, the top ten. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. The Lord wants them all. Every single one. Because actually, if you think about it, if you give them all to Him, then you have, there's nothing over here. Isn't that cool? You can say, I give them all to you, Lord. They're all there. They're in your camp. Now there's an issue about, we're going to say, well, but Roger, He doesn't answer these prayers. I pray enough day and night. Well, that's, is that your responsibility? Get those prayers answered. We'd like to have them. There's plenty of prayers I'd love to have answered. And them, I think, are very valid for people's salvation. Many wonderful prayers, but I'm not in control of that. This is where he wants you to be. You put them on Him, and you trust Him. You thank Him. You interact with Him. It's a different focus. So He's not going to address answering the prayer. He's going to address where your focus should be. It's not to be on worry. Okay. So that's the first. So there's pos. B here. Here's a method by prayer and supplication. So I found these very subtle. If I looked up when I did, I'll have some verses that use the word, this particular word for prayer in the Greek, and it's the most frequent word for prayer. Sometimes it'll be like the Lord Jesus prayed. He went off with his disciples and prayed. That might be an example of this word. This other word, supplication, is more one for your need. I couldn't find some really sharp examples. I did find that this prayer and supplication, that pair, that word pair, is used in a variety of places, like in Ephesians 6:18, by prayer and petition, or prayer and supplication. In 1 Timothy 5:5, by supplication and prayers, night and day. So that combination is used together. So part one is, it's in everything. Part two, it's by prayer and supplication. And part C is with thanksgiving. And literally, it's a giving of thanks. So, he wants, this is to be a balanced interaction with Him. You thank Him, you thank Him for that you're saved. You thank Him that you realize this. You thank Him that you're, whatever comes into your mind, you're thankful about that. You're not just always, I need this, it's hit real hard. You're talking to somebody. It'd be like your kids. If your kids just sit there all the time, Dad, I need this. You say, wait a minute. You're in this house. You have food. You have clothing. You're going to school. Aren't there things to be thankful about? And you would train your children, tell your children those kind of things? Wayne?
It's interesting that he put it right in there, thanks with Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
It says thank him before you even get the answer.
Right.
So many times, let's not thank him until we see what he does.
Exactly. I want to see.
So
I want to see
takes that worry out of it, too. Thanksgiving, you're not going to be worried about it, whatever
exactly.
the answer is.
Exactly. No, that's cool. It's with Thanksgiving. It's with Thanksgiving.
So is that thanking him for listening to you or thanking him for just anything?
Well, go ahead.
I kind of see that similarly Wayne was describing, in that your Thanksgiving is for what's about to occur, because it's according to his will.
Right.
Which means we're not going to, it's like we're praying to change God's mind.
No.
Yeah. We're praying to change the outcome.
Right.
We're praying to be in accordance with him.
Right,
and that's
right.
Thanksgiving.
Well, and I think that really sometimes, and I know personally I'm in the same camp, I worry too much about the answer to prayer rather than just praying to God and say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to pray to you. You know, I see this, it seems like it's imperative that this be answered. You just got to answer this one. This is a biggie. You just got to answer this one. But, you know, you're not God. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, the answer is all part of the conformity process, so regardless of
excellent.
What things, I mean, you can be thankful regardless of the outcome because
exactly.
it's all conformity to the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think what Bonnie's saying, too, is it thanking him for who he is also. I think that might be both. You know, with Thanksgiving, we're not only thankful for it, that he's going to answer it for everything. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
Both ways.
Well, I think this is always a good exercise, and I, you know, at different times in our family, we tried to say, okay, tonight, you know, we have a prayer time. We're going to just try to thank the Lord for all these things, and we try to just, you know, say off the, I want this and I want that. Let's just thank Him. Let's just think of all the things that, and if you're really serious about that, you can, you know, there is just, you know, innumerable. You could be there days.
It all falls under grace, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the blessings we have in Christ, that we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, that He's our Father, and we're His children, and just goes on and on and on. I mean, and that we have a destiny secure. I mean, it's not in doubt. It's not dependent upon an election. Right? Sorry, I've been watching too many doing things. Let's see, Colossians 4:2. Someone read that, Colossians 4:2. I thought this was kind of cool.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
Yeah. So basically, you're continuing in prayer, and mine says with an attitude of thanksgiving. So in your prayer, thanksgiving is all, it's all in there. It's all in there together. Just like you might think that, you know, if your kids are really serious, they'd say, Mom and Dad, and this has happened like a little later on, Mom and Dad, our home wasn't too bad. it's kind of a mild plus. You know, it was pretty cool at your house, you know. We kind of liked it there, you know. It's like, wow. You know, usually it's, oh, well, this and that. Here's what all the things that we wish were different. It was kind of cool there. We kind of liked it there. So that's you go away with a smile on your face and say, thank you, Lord. And then the Colossians 2:7 is overflowing with gratitude, with thanksgiving. Okay. And then the fourth one is to God. Doesn't sound like it's much, but it's actually this word pros. So it's reminding yourself that we're in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and it's to God, and we're just not we're just not throwing those prayers, okay, Lord, there it goes. Oh, did it make it? No, I guess it didn't make it. You know, it reminds us that we're face to face or in God's presence, that word pros. And actually, in Romans 5, this is one of Hal's favorite verses, and it became my favorite verse after listening to Hal talk about it. And it uses this word pros. Romans 5:1 uses this word pros in terms of, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with pros with God, face to face with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God, face to face with God, and He says, I want you to pray recognizing that you're face to face with me. I'm not far off. I'm like your children. I'm sitting across. You can't see Him, but the proximity. I'm face to face. God's not looking off over there. Oh, he's busy now. I can't talk to him now. He's face to face with us. So that was really cool. So that's the remedy. That's God's plan for not being anxious. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, to God. Okay. So, and then the verse that's followed is going to tell you the wonderful benefit that's going to come to you when you follow God's plan. Worry, what benefit's going to come to you? We saw the Lord Jesus arguing, you know, you're not going to add an hour to your life. You're not going to, tomorrow's going to be a bunch of more worries. Today had some worries, tomorrow will be some more. So that's not going to help you going there. But here,
Exactly.
But he's going to say here, there's going to be a tremendous benefit when you interact with God in those four areas, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and recognizing it's face-to-face with God, there's going to be a tremendous benefit for you. You're going to have a tremendous peace about this situation. And that's verse 7. I read that one already. Okay. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we're just going to look at the first part, and the peace of God. Okay, peace of God, that's the peace that only God can give. And you know, this that little phraseology, peace of, and I did a search on that, and there really were not that many phrases like that. The one that I did find is in Colossians 3:15. And could someone read that? Colossians 3:15.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Okay, and that's cool. That's good. So this case it's referred to as the peace of Christ. But this is a peace that only God has. Only God, he's the author of peace. And remember, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace, right? Love, joy, peace. Only God has true peace. I mean, man can talk all day he wants, but there's no true peace outside of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There's none. So there are other phrases that are used in Philippians that he used before, but they're not this peace of God. There's a peace from God in Philippians 2:1, and then there's the God of peace, and that's actually like a title. God is called the God of peace. You can look through Scripture, you can find a bunch of examples of that. He's called the God of peace. Okay, so here's the cool part. If you notice in this one, this actually is subject. The subject is the peace of God. The verb is will guard. And this, which surpasses all things, modifies the peace of God. It tells us how tremendous this peace of God is. It's just not, this is sort of a good thing. This is a super good thing. This is really, which surpasses all comprehension. It says we can't really comprehend the peace of God. Tells us the magnitude. And, okay, look, let's look at, actually, I think one of these verses we've actually visited before. Okay, yeah, actually, we came across this word earlier. It's to have over. It doesn't seem like it sounds like it's not surpasses. It's over and above. In Philippians 3:8, could someone read that? We had that earlier in our study.
Philippians 3:8?
Yes.
More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord.
Right.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ.
Right. Okay. So there this word, is translated surpasses here. It's translated surpassing value. So this peace, the peace of God, is of surpassing value. And that's one part of it, which surpassing value. And then the other part is comprehension. Surpasses all comprehension. This talks about our mind. And what we're going to find here, which is really cool, the Lord wants to interact with how we think. And this is kind of a really cool thing. Look here. He talks about our comprehension. That's the first word. Comprehension has to do with our mind, right? The word heart, or hearts, actually, in the Greek, actually has to do with our mind as well. and your mind. So there's like three words. He's going to say, this, my peace, the peace of God that only comes from me, that's a fruit of the Spirit, is going to interact with your comprehension, your hearts, and your mind. I mean, it's cool stuff, because he said that's going to get right where you think. It's going to impact how you think about the situation. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want us to say, oh, okay, I didn't worry for 5 minutes. Yay! Now I'm going to worry for the rest of the day, you know. He wants us to be an attitude. You know, it doesn't make any sense for me over there stirring up that worry pot. I'll stir those things, and I'll stir them. And, you know, they never seem to improve. I come back around that problem, and it never improves the next time around, or the next time around, or the next time around. But what here it says is, if I communicate with God, the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard, we're going to look at, will guard our hearts and our minds. And it's not just, it's in Christ Jesus. And we say that so many times. It's in that relationship with Him. Okay, so here's a verb, will guard. So this peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard. And this is a military term, to keep by guarding, to guard. And it basically says, it's a future tense, it's a fact, that will be the ongoing process. This peace of God will guard your hearts and minds, and this is on into the future. And 1 Peter talks about that. And I'll just read that. It says, where's Matthew? It says, 1 Peter 1:5. Who are protected, and that's our word, guarded, by the power of God through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So this guarding, his intent is that we replace worry with communication with Him, and in communicating with Him, we will, as a result, have His peace that is beyond our comprehension, and it will guard our hearts and our minds. Just incredible, incredible stuff. So now we talk about your hearts and your minds. And those are both plural. And hearts is a word, familiar word, cardia. That's the word with the word cardiac. It's, you know, in some senses in Scripture, it talks about the physical organ of the heart. But it also stands for man's entire mental and moral activity. So let's look at a couple of cases here. So this is, let's look at Colossians 3:15. Can someone read Colossians 3:15?
Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful.
Okay. So he's saying he wants the peace of Christ to, and this is kind of cool, to rule in your hearts. Okay. And then if you look in Ephesians 6:22, I'll just read that one. Ephesians 6:22, last part says that He may comfort your hearts. So what people have said is, hearts talks more about, points to the, more to our emotions. You know, He wants the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts, to be comforted. That's more the comforting aspect. And now we're going to look at minds, and minds is more the intellect. And let's see if it has some verses here. Could someone read 2 Corinthians 10:5?
We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Okay. That word thought is our word for mind. So it's some, as you notice in the it's sometimes translated thought. So here it's more talking about our intellect and reasoning things out. And then the other verse here is in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Could someone read that? 2 Corinthians 11:3.
But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ.
Great, thank you. So he wants us to be, you know, right thinking. So this peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds. And it's in Christ Jesus. So just like we, you know, think about the promises we see that we have from our Lord. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So that's the realm where this has impact. It's in our relationship with Christ Jesus, in Him. And if we're over here, you know, I almost see this worry and prayer as almost being like, you know, walking in the flesh versus walking in the spirit. It almost is that parallel that I've kind of worry. We're trying to solve it. The flesh is trying to figure out how I'm going to solve this problem. Whereas when I'm walking with the Lord, I'm praying, I'm allowing Him to His peace to guard my heart. I'm over focused on Him. I'm abiding with Him. It's that same picture. Do I want to spend my time over here worrying, or do I want to spend my time with the Lord in prayer? And the wonderful benefit of prayer. So,
do you think the peace is something that we sense, or is this something we just take by faith?
I think sometimes we have to take it by faith, because things can be pretty bad, you know. And I think that's where, you know, sometimes you can have, you know, mild problems, you know, in human terms, mild problems. But sometimes you can have really, really problems that you think, I don't see, I mean, humanly speaking, this is just going the wrong way. And so the Lord wants you to come to Him in prayer, in those four areas, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and realizing that you're face-to-face with Him. And He wants His peace. He wants to be guarding your hearts and your minds. He wants you to, even in the midst of a difficult time, He wants you to be at peace with Him and letting His peace interact with your mind, with your comprehension, your mind, and your hearts. So it's funny. There's nothing about you've got to get an answer here. So if you're looking for an answer to prayer today, these aren't the passages.
It's in a common thread from last week. It's where rejoicing can't occur unless it's in Christ, the same way
exactly.
Peace of God can't occur unless it's in Christ.
Exactly. And isn't that, I mean, that just makes total sense, really, if you think about it. If we're in the flesh trying to do something, it's just, you know, it's unfortunately, it's very attractive. You know, I can fix this. Oh, I know what I'll do. I can fix this real quick. All I got to do is do 1, 2, 3. And my thought 1, 2, 3 doesn't work. Maybe it makes the problem a little bit better, or maybe it's worse, or whatever. But this is where the Lord wants us. He wants us to allow His peace, which surpasses all comprehension, to guard. I kind of imagine like somebody walking around, you know, like my mind and my heart. Here's this guard walking around my mind and my heart, you know. He's guarding it. That's kind of, you know. I think that's kind of cool. So, anyway, this was a great passage to study, and actually, the Lord provided a trial along with it. So, I would have to. And I'm not saying that I didn't worry about my trial. I did. I worried how I was going to fix it. If I only would say this or do this, and I tried my best to figure how. Every time I say, Roger, that's not going to change it. It's not going to change. But what can change is my view of it and my peace about it. Okay, Lord, that's happened. I'm sorry that's happened. If there's sin to confess, you confess it. But I'm gonna be with you, trusting and letting your peace impact my heart and my mind, my comprehension. That's where He wants us.
One of the things too, I don't know if you've mentioned it. I'm sorry, I just
sure, to sure, that's okay, Ryan.
There is a spiritual warfare going on, and I don't think that the Satan or his fallen angels can read our mind, but they can hear our voice.
Mm-hmm.
And what we say reveals what's in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And God guards what's in our mind, but Satan can hear what we say that's in our mind, mm-hmm. and use that with outside influences, other mm-hmm. people, other things, that can then make us think the wrong things. Well, God guards us from that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a wonderful promise
yep.
here? That we can count on Him doing
right.
that. An unbeliever can't.
Right.
And one of the things we have to do in Canada is actually command in the name of Christ any evil spirits from influencing the unbelievers or us
mm-hmm.
and claiming this kind of a promise mm-hmm. right here. Guard our minds
right.
from anything we say that
right.
might be interpreted the
right.
wrong way.
Right. Or we read the passage about bringing all thoughts captive to the obedience
yeah.
of Christ.
Yep.
We went through that a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yep. So again, And I like what I like the thought is here that worry is self-centered, prayer is God-centered, and that's what he's telling us. He says, if you're over there worrying, you're trying to solve it. If you're focused on prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then my peace, which surpasses all comprehension, can guard your hearts and your minds. And it's in Christ Jesus. So that's the only place it can be. So, anyway. Great. Well, thanks. Great passage. All right. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you just for your tremendous blessings that we have in our Savior, Lord, and how you desire to to simply communicate with us simply to, and to bring everything, all things, not excluding one single thing, Lord, bring it all to you and give it to you so that we can rest in you, and that you will handle these things. And maybe not in the timing that we would like, or maybe we'll never see it here on this earth. But we trust you that you're the only wise God, and we thank you that your peace is available to us and will guard our hearts and our minds. In Christ's name, amen.